Let us just jump straight into the sermon, because I believe this is a time where we need to talk about church. And as we continue on with our series in terms of fellowship, all right, there are things that I deem important from the scripture that we ought to know, because fellowship means that we belong to one another. And how does that relationship come about? It is only through Jesus Christ, His Son. Right? So as we look into the ordinances of the church today, I pray that you will find KLBC Desa Park City a place that you want to belong to, that you can belong to, and prayerfully you will get a better picture of what it is called to be like a family of God. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we know that you have called us into the universal family, the universal church, where globally brothers and sisters all come together to worship our true God. And also, Lord, you have ordained us to have belong to a local church. And this local church is right here at KL Baptist Church, Desa Park City. And Lord, we want to thank you for the faithful brothers and sisters who have been part of this church, growing here, serving here, and edifying one another. And Lord, for the many who have yet to belong to any church, we pray that, Lord, as we go through the sermon today, you will help them to decide upon, pray upon a church that they can call to be a family. So, Lord, as we end the year 2024, we pray then all that we have served you, all our service for you and for your people, that, Lord, you will receive it with gladness. And we pray that moving forward in 2025, we can do even better to love you and to love your people. We want to thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, as we look into the ordinances, right, we are in the midst of talking about fellowship. We have covered about four sermons about worship, what worship is all about, what worship is like. And we are moving on to the next segment of a so-called Christian life here on earth. All right. So we have talked about fellowship, whether we have done it correctly or whether we have failed in terms of our fellowship. So in terms of ordinances, right, it is something that a church practices. And we are called a church because of ordinances. Okay, we'll jump right there in a while. Now, I had the privilege to go for a medical checkup. Beacon Hospital, how many of you know about Beacon Hospital? Yes. It is one of the famous hospital that is specifically treating cancer patients, if I'm not mistaken. All right. So the founder, Sister Amy Chen, I think? Mary. Sister Mary, yes, thank you. She was gracious to all pastors within this circle. Last year, she actually offered all pastors and the spouse to have a free checkup, free medical checkup. So she will bear all the expenses. And this year, as usual, I went for the checkup, right? And I thank God that everything generally is okay. And there was this test, right? This machine, this very interesting machine. How many of you actually come across this machine here? It's called a body composition and fat analyzer machine. This is my first time or my second time doing this test. And if you see, I barely passed 63 over 100 points. All right? And apparently, according to this machine, the test result shows that I'm fat. I do not know whether you agree or not, but I'm fat. Then after that, it comes the consultation time. The doctor asked me two questions. Is there room for improvement in your current lifestyle? So obviously, I have to answer yes. Definitely, there are room for improvements in my current lifestyle. I need to exercise more. I need to look into my diet even better. I have high cholesterol, by the way. And the second question that the doctor asked is actually, would you like to consider taking medication? Of which I said, no. I'm 41 years old this year. She is actually suggesting me to take cholesterol medication. Now, without all these tests, and without a consultation with the doctor, looking at me, right, you wouldn't notice that I'm fat. You wouldn't categorize me as fat. Similarly, as we look at each other in the church, how can we say that we truly belong to the family of God? What are some of the ways, or what are some of the tests, or what are some of the practices that a Christian go through or show or practices in their life to show that you and I, we are brothers and sisters in Christ and we belong to this church? Do we have tests like that? Now, Watchman Nee said this. We think of the Christian life as a changed life. To some degree, most of us, we will agree that there are certain changes. Before I accept Christ, before I know about who Jesus is, when I met Jesus in a way, when I encountered Jesus, my life is changed. And after I've encountered Jesus. So there was a change between before, during, and after I met Jesus. But ultimately, we have to understand it's not a changed life, but more specifically, it is exchanged life or a substituted life. And Jesus Christ is now in our hearts. Our life is being substituted in that sense. So for some of us, we may not understand why we need to attend a church. Why do we need to belong to this church? Can I just come this church first Sunday, next church the other Sunday, and then the third church on the other Sunday because I have friends all over the place? Right? The local church, not only the building, the people, the ministry that's involved, is a primary center for worship and fellowship. This is what we are doing, coming here together to worship God as a family, belonging to God, family, fellowship. And again, we are also part of the evangelism, disciple-making ministry, and it is the primary center for the preaching and the teaching of the word, right? Whether it's the Bible or the scripture that you are using. So all this, right, makes the church... Oh, sorry, there's a small diagram there. All right, so we have the worship there, we have the fellowship, we have the discipleship, we have the mission and ministry, all happening in a church context. This is the function of the local church, and prayerfully you are here because of all this. This is what we are called to be and become. Now, the local church, right, what is the difference between a local church and a connect group? Do you know what's a connect group, a cell group, a small group? What's the difference? There are two differences mainly. There are two differences. One is that there are appointment of leaders or ordained leadership. So before I came about, there was Deacon Bruce that was ordained. Right? So there is an ordained leadership within the existing church. And the second most important part that calls us a church is that we practice the ordinances, both water baptism and the Lord's Supper. So last Wednesday, Christmas Day, we have gone through the water baptism. And next Sunday, we are going to partake of the Lord's Supper together. So this makes us a local church. This makes us KLBC Desa Park City. So when we partake of the water, Lord's Supper together, when we become part of the church through the water baptism, we are showing in a public manner that we belong to one another. And we hold each other accountable. All right, so let's move on straight to the two passages that is involved today. So if you have your Bible with you, may I invite you to open up to Acts chapter 2, verses 37 to 41. And let me read to you quickly. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Water baptism, 3,000. I wonder how long it takes. Now, water baptism, we have gone through that when I talk about 1 Peter. It is an outward expression of an inward decision. Whatever decision that you made inwardly, just like, you know, how my health is internally, I don't know about it. But as we go for the test, this is one of the examples that we can look into when we look into the life of the people. It is an outward expression of an inward decision. Meaning to say, if inwardly you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, repented of your sins, water baptism is the show of that. That you belong to God and that you have trusted God and placed your trust in Him. You are going to follow God all the way of your life. That is basically what water baptism shows. It is a sign to show to the world that a person is turning his life over to God. It is an outward expression. And those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their numbers that day. Now, water baptism. Why full immersion? Do you know what is full immersion? That means you go down all the way, then come up. So how many of you actually witnessed a water baptism full immersion before? That means you see people going down all the way and then come up. Now, I do not know how to swim. All right? I don't know how to swim. And that is one of my challenge, to go down and then come up. And for some of us, maybe some of us are stuck there longer because I cannot come up. Now, water baptism, as we step into the water, it signifies that we are deaf. We are undergoing so-called death, our spiritual death. We are acknowledging that part, that our spirit is dead. As we fully emerge in the water, again, it's a symbol to signify that we are buried with Christ. And as we come out of the water, right, it symbols that we are resurrected with Christ. And as we walk out of the water, it shows to the world that we now is a new life. Okay, so again, it is a symbol. It does not have a special power. The water is a really plain water. It's cold. We are looking into putting a heater so that we can be slightly warmer for the Easter Sunday baptism. But ultimately, it is just water. What is symbolized is what matters. And water baptism is mainly for regenerated believer. Repent and be baptized. That means you have made a decision. You have heard of the good news. You know that Jesus died for your sins. You have readily accept Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. You ask God for forgiveness. And then after that, next one is water baptism. You regenerated believer. That is why we do not practice baby baptism or infant baptism. A baby of 1 month old, 3 months old, 1 year old, we do not baptize that because we hold on to regenerated believer undergoing baptism. You must understand why you go through baptism before we baptize you. All right? So the youngest that I have seen going through baptism is a kid about 8 years old. Very young, but he or they, I think, right, they understood what happened. They can clearly understand that Jesus died for their sins. They can truly say what sins is all about, all this. And after interview, after going through the class, then the pastor decided to baptize them. So the 8 years old is the youngest that I've seen so far. And water baptism is also a command of God. It's also a command of God. It's not an option. It's not whether you, okay, after I believe in Jesus, I can just go about my life and then see lah. see whether I want to be baptized or I can choose not to be baptized and all this stuff. And it is a command because God has, especially Jesus, right, you see here, before he ascended to heaven, he gave down this command to all. Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, and therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Not only pastors can baptize. This is what you see. I believe some of us, we have observed this last Christmas. How many of you actually recognize that this is something different? Yes, AJ. Yeah, because you are involved. We had a brief discussion with the Passover team. And with the permission of our senior pastor, Pastor John, we decided to make certain changes as to involving another person in water baptism. Right, so usually water baptism, there are only two persons, right? The ordained minister, the one who, you know, baptizes people, and the baptism candidate, right? The one who goes into the water. Now, in order for us, for this church, to encourage that you fulfill the Great Commission, moving forward, we will ask the baptism candidate to choose a person, and that person can be the person who led him to Christ. It can be the person that, you know, he models after in terms of the maturity of his journey. So our brother Kenneth here has chosen our brother AJ to be his mentor moving forward. And that is why you have two person guiding. Right? So we have brother AJ guiding brother Kenneth into the water, and, you know, Deacon Bruce was the one who baptized brother Kenneth. So we have all this, and we believe that this is where the church can be actively involved in. Not only the pastors, but do your part, because we are nurturing the next generation of faithful believers. So I would like to encourage you to consider, right, for those who have yet to gone through water baptism, think about who you want to involve. It could be your parents. It could be your Sunday school teacher that has helped you into knowing Jesus and maybe help you into praying the prayer, right? So it can be anybody that you want to hold accountable to. So this is what we are going to practice from this point onwards. And we are looking into the possibility of having three of them in the water together, because that makes sense, right? And we can talk about water baptism. How? How do we do it? It must be done by an ordained minister. It involves a pool of water. It can be at the river. It can be in the sea. But it must involve water. And this can differ from churches to churches, right? This is what we usually do in KLBC, is that, you know, the minister, the ordained minister, will ask a question. I'm so sorry that last Wednesday during Christmas, the sound system was kept already after the Mandarin service, that I cannot explain all this. All right, so I'm using this time to explain to you. Right, so usually the ordained minister will approach, or you know, before submerging, right, the person in the presence of God and man, brother and sister XYZ, your the name. Have you personally received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? This is the question we will ask the baptism candidate. And at that time, he will say, I do, and all this. Again, you will notice that it has nothing to do with the water. It is a public declaration that this person has put his faith in Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. And this is what we are acknowledging in a public setting, so that all the brothers and sisters know that this person declares it, and now we are family of God together, publicly. And after that, after he said, I do, right, by your public confession of faith, it is public, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Down he goes, up he comes. And in our church practice, Suzanne will be the one usually leading, right? This song. Again, I'm so sorry that our sound system was not available that day. Usually we'll sing, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. Every one of them. This is our practice here in KLBC, Desa Park City. So in the main church, they could sing a different song. In other churches, they may sing other songs, other hymns and all this. But this is our church practice, no right, no wrong. It is a time where we celebrate this brother or this sister being baptized. Now, there are some critical points that we need to take into account. There could be false positive, like COVID tests. A person can repent, change his life, and be baptized by his own effort and works without ever trusting Christ, without ever believing in Christ. It is possible. That is why water baptism is always the first point. It is not the end of the journey, but rather it is a public declaration that I am going to follow Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. You watch me. Basically, he's declaring that the church, everybody, watch me and see whether my faith and my belief is consistent with what I say and proclaim. So this is very important. Water baptism is never the end. It is a public declaration to show to the church that now I am being accountable to you. Watch me. If I do something wrong, tell me. To believe is to follow Christ and to be baptized. So for some of us, we may be baptized from other churches, it's all right. But if our behavior is not consistent with what we proclaim, then prayerfully, we will have this time where you can ask whether it is a sign of true repentance and submission to Christ's Lordship. So for those who are yet to be baptized, would you consider getting baptized on Easter Sunday? If you have yet to be baptized, would you consider obeying the Lord's command and be baptized? Now for Lord's Supper, this is something that we do every first Sunday of the month. So in the whole year, we have about 12 Lord's Supper together. And especially in the month of Easter Sunday, we will partake of the Lord's Supper on Good Friday night. All right? So this is the very familiar verses for many of us who have been part of this church. And let me quickly read to you 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 29. And let's see what we can get from this passage here. For I received from the Lord, this is what Paul has written. For what I received from the Lord, what I also pass on to you, the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ, eat and drink judgment on themselves. So for us today, maybe some of us we may feel weird. You know why Paul is saying that we have to eat and drink in a worthy manner. What happened those days that God that Paul has to say this to the Corinthian church? Now, to give us some background, it was very straightforward. What happened then? This can be found a few verses right before that. Alright, so in verse 17 all the way to 22, in the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. Something is wrong somewhere. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent, I believe it. No doubt differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. So then when you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper you eat, for when you are eating, some of you go ahead with your own private suppers, and as a result, one person remains hungry and another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God by humiliating those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? Certainly not in this manner. So there were some issues here. So Lord's Supper those days is so different than ours. It is literally food and supper. And those days, they are having pot bless. Do you know what's pot bless? Pot luck. We don't use luck, we use bless. Pot bless. So in our church setting today, if you are part of the cell group, if you are part of a certain ministry, you will notice that usually they will come together asking, you know, that you contribute certain food. And this is the love feast in those days, where people bring whatever they can, come together, share a meal together as a church. Now, those days, what happened is that apparently, whatever they bring, they sit with their kaki. Some of them get drunk. And because they don't share, other people have gone hungry right before the Lord's Supper. So this is what happens, and this is the problem those days. And it was corrupted in the sense, because the Lord's Supper, before you start, apparently there were divisions within the church that is not healthy. You come together, but there are divisions among you. And this is where Paul steps in and said, previously in chapter 5, there were divisions. Some of you follow Paul, Peter, Apollos, and others. Why? Why were there divisions within the church? The second thing that is a problem at that time is that they were self-deception. They thought they are coming together to have the Lord's Supper, to show to the people that they are a church. But ultimately, they are not. They are there together at one side, enjoy the food with their kaki, leaving others who are still hungry in it. That is never the focus of a Lord's Supper. There was selfishness and neglect of others. You go on with your own private suppers, one person still go hungry, another gets drunk. And of course, we have the abuse of the sacredness of the church and shaming of the poor. Church, building the people, we are set apart for God's glory, for God's usage in a way. So, as we come together, even though we don't have this supper before we partake of the Lord's Supper together, but are we sober when we partake of the Lord's Supper? Are we in our right mind when we partake of the Lord's Supper? This photo, do you know when did this happen? Are we behaving like that in our own manner? So when we look into ourselves, again, we have to look into our lives, things that are hidden, because God knows. God knows when we come before Him, when we proclaim that we are a family of God, but inside us, are we sober? Are we guilty of this? As we move on from the year 2024, again, we pray that things will go better, especially in terms of our relationship with the Lord and with the people. And as we practice and as we partake of the Lord's Supper next Sunday, again, we will give you time to reflect upon your life before we partake of the Lord's Supper. Because we don't want any one of us to fall into God's judgment. And trust me, you don't want to. And for some of us, just to make something clear, there was this progression of the Lord's Supper. So since the beginning, during Exodus time, the Hebrews, the Jews, they already know about the Passover. So there was this Passover meal, and they have been practicing all this Passover meal until the time where we have Jesus, the Last Supper, not Lord's Supper, the Last Supper, before He was betrayed. the Last Supper. There's only one Last Supper. All right, there are many Passover meals. There's the first Passover meal, all right, when Moses gave the command, you know, on all these things that he has to do and the people has to do so that death pass over their firstborn. All right, there's the Passover meal, many of them. There's only one Last Supper. Jesus only died once. And today we have Lord's Supper. Again, different churches, different practices. For our church, we have our Lord's Supper every first Sunday of the month. And we see that Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper on the very night he was betrayed. How should we do it? Very clear instructions here. Took bread, he broke it, and he exhorted his disciple to eat in remembrance of him. And with the cup with wine, the new covenant, to drink in remembrance of Jesus. And to eat and to drink of the supper, proclaiming the Lord's death and the Lord's return. So this has been our practice here in KLBC Desa Pasiti. We will remind you again and again before all of us partake of the Lord's Supper so that we will not drink judgment on ourselves. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, it shows that we belong together. We are accountable to God and to each other. And that we are proclaiming that Jesus died and Jesus is coming back. And lastly, in order for us not to drink judgment upon ourselves, I pray that you and I, as we move into the year 2025, we walk in constant fellowship with Jesus Christ, in constant confession. I believe some of us, or most of us, when we are behind the wheels, we are a changed person. At times, I hope that, you know, this person parked his car properly or else. There are certain triggers in our life. There are many triggers in our life. Triggers that will cause us to sin against God and to sin against one another. And that is why we ought to live in constant confession. Immediately after the thought that I hope that I can, the car, God, sorry, forgive me. Constant confession, constant repentance. And of course, in a worshipful lifestyle, constant praise of his person, mercy, and grace, and the work on the cross. Because it is through this constant fellowship with Christ that we can hold on to our sanity, that we can keep ourselves sober and continue to live for God. So reflection point number three, the last one. Are we acknowledging the work of Christ on the cross and treating the Lord's Supper with the right attitude? So as we move on to the year 2025, I pray that as we move on, this will be a time where we make certain decisions that it will change our life forever. It is not to try harder, but to have a renewed commitment to follow Jesus Christ in gratitude for his grace and love for us. So let Lord's Supper be a reminder again and again, again and again, again and again, that it's going to be our renewed commitment to follow and pursue Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for the brief reminder as we close the year 2024, that you have called us to worship you, that you have called us to belong to your family. And Lord, we understand that water baptism is the means that we can belong to a local church, that we can be part of the membership, that we can be part of the member of the church, serving together, growing together. And Lord, we want to thank you for KL Baptist Church, this capacity that you have granted us, this piece of land, this building, and the fellow brothers and sisters in Christ that you have placed here today. Lord, we want to ask that you help us as we acknowledge each other as the body of Christ. And that, Lord, we are holding each other accountable. That we declare that we belong to you and that, Lord, we will live for you. And Lord, we want to thank you for the constant reminder as we partake of the Lord's Supper that this is going to be our renewed commitment to you. And every time, Lord, as we take off the Lord's Supper, the bread, the wine, Lord, we are reminded of your sacrifice on the cross that you died, you were buried, and you resurrected 3 days later to carry our cross, to carry our sins, and to make us righteous before God once again. So, Lord, we want to ask that you clothe us with your righteousness because none of us is righteous. None of us is worthy, but it is through your act on the cross that you have made it possible for us to be righteous before God. So Lord, we want to thank you. And we pray that as we partake of the Lord's Supper and as we continue to live in constant fellowship with Christ daily, you will help us to move into constant confession. That Lord, everything that we do, we ask that you will help us. Anything that is hindering our worship for you, we ask that you will help us to repent. And for all the blessings, even in times of trouble and challenges, Lord, we want to offer up praises to you, knowing that, Lord, our life is in your hands, that you are in control, you are sovereign, and that, Lord, you are God of all. You are our Creator, God. So this we declare to you, that as we move on to the year 2025, Lord, you are there already with us, that we will hold on to your promises in the scripture, that you will never fail us, you will never forsake us, you will never leave us alone. We want to thank you for the promises, the wonderful ones, and that, Lord, you will help us by disciplining us into the year 2025. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.